Well, good morning. Welcome to Hope on the Beach Church. It hasn't been on the beach for 2 months, but we're great. It is. I love it when, especially, we're so grateful to have snowbirds, and they just kind of look at me like, why are we not on the beach? We're from Minnesota. We can handle it. I'm like, and I'll just be honest, we can't. All right? So, and you would know if you moved here. Just a thought. Save on taxes. Build the kingdom. Just two good reasons. I can give you a third one afterwards. No, it's kidding. Well, hey, we're grateful you're here. Welcome home, as we like to say. Whether this is your home away from home, we really want you to feel at home here. That's at our heart, and I know that's at God's heart, that He just wants you to be surrounded by His presence of love and grace. And that's why we say we gather here. This is a no judgment zone, because that's what it is. This is a place of His grace, of His working of His grace. And that's what draws us in, of His great goodness. And so you're free to worship kind of where you feel comfortable at. If you want to rise, rise. You just want to stay seated and take it all in. That is great. All is good. And it's okay not to be okay. And, you know, if you're not feeling the greatest, then sit back. If you need some one-on-one, we're here to serve however we can help you in your journey there. In your worship folder, we want to recognize you as a gift to God, that God has brought you here for a reason. So in your worship folder is a little connection card, and just want to recognize your presence with us. And that's our way of, man, kind of reaching out, but also part of our process of just being a shepherd and trying to care for those God people that God has entrusted to us. And so if you'd be so kind to fill it out, if you're a guest with us, we'd be very grateful. If you've been here for a while, then just your name would suffice also. As you know, we've been through this book of Hosea. Many of you probably haven't read Hosea, no judgment, just saying. And we tend to flip over the minor prophets a lot. We don't tend to dwell on them very much. And yet, I hope you found this is incredibly rich. And also that when we lean into Hosea, it kind of broadens our perspective of who God is. And when you see, maybe you get the total picture of God and His attributes, you also understand more about His grace and what He's done for us and what it means for our lives. And so I hope and I invite you to continue to lean into it as we go through the book together. And today, for this service, we have our wonderful director of ministry, Steve, is going to be bringing the word today. So with that, I invite you to rise as we begin our worship together in prayer. So Lord, you know, sometimes we don't like that brisk, cold wind, but we do ask that the wind of Your Spirit, and maybe it's brisk or maybe it's warm, but whatever it is, that we need to awaken our hearts to more of You. God, we say, blow. Bring Your fresh air. Bring Your Spirit. May it fill this place, but especially fill our hearts with You. And so we invite You, we recognize here, and we invite You to speak to us, to shape us and mold us, that we could walk away more, a little bit more like You, a little bit more like in bearing the image that You gave us, a little more of Your love in us that can work through us, a little to the world around us. So we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
So we got a new song this morning that we love to teach you guys, and just going to sing the chorus for you. And as we enter this time of worship, what I pray all the time is this: whether you know the song or not, or whether you just hear the words and let them pierce your heart, my prayer always for the church is that we don't just sing songs to sing songs, but we sing songs because we want to worship the Lord in our heart. So the song goes like this.
Then this is our God, this is who He is, He loves us. And this is our God, this is what He does, He saves us. He bore the cross, He beat the grave, let heaven and earth proclaim, this is our God, King Jesus.
Can you sing that with me?
This is our God, this is what He is, He loves us.
This is our God.
This is our God. This is what He does. He saves us. He bore the cross. He beat the grave. Let heaven and earth proclaim. This is Remember those walls that we called sin and shame. They were like prisons that we couldn't escape. But he came and he died and he rose. Those walls are rubble now. Remember those giants we called death and grave. They were like mountains that stood in our way. But he came and he died and he rose. Those giants are dead now. This is our God, and this is our God. This is who he is. He loves us. This is our God. This is what he does. He saves us. He bore the cross. He beat the grave. Let heaven and earth proclaim, this is our God, King Jesus. And remember that fear that took our breath away. Faith so weak that we could barely pray. But he heard every word, every whisper. And now those altars in the wilderness tell the story of his faithfulness. And never once did he fail, and he never will. And this is our God, this is who he is. He loves us. This is our God, this is what he does. He saves us. He bore the cross, he beat the grave. Let heaven and earth proclaim, this is our God, King Jesus. Who pulled me out of that pit? He did, he did. Who paid for all of our sins? Nobody but Jesus. Who pulled me out of that pit? He did, he did. Who paid for all of our sins? Nobody but Jesus. Who rescued me from that grave? Yahweh, Yahweh. Who gets the glory and praise? Nobody but him. This is our God. This is who he is. He loves us. This is our God. This is what he does. He saves us. He bore the cross. He beat the grave. Let heaven and earth proclaim, this is our God, King Jesus. Sing, this is our God. This is who he is. He loves us. This is our God. This is what he does. He saves us. He bore the cross, he beat the grave. Let heaven and earth proclaim, this is our God, King Jesus. This is our God, King Jesus. Singing, I heard a thousand stories of what they think you're like, but I heard the tender whisper of love in the dead of night, and you tell me that you're pleasing and I'm never alone. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. searching for answers far and wide, but I know we're all searching for answers. Only you provide, because you know just what we need before we say a word. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. Are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. To us, sing that out. As you call me deeper still, as you call me deeper still, as you call me deeper still into love, love, love. You're good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am.
Father, we thank you for your goodness, for your mercy, for being such a good Father, for loving us, never ending, loving us unconditionally and steadfastly. Father, thank you for who you are, and for allowing us to come into your presence this morning. Fill this place with your Spirit. May we glean from your word as you touch our hearts with it, in Jesus' name. Amen. Bless y'all. Good to see you. Be seated. As Pastor said, my name's Steve. I get to serve as director of ministries, which most of you by now know that just means whatever pastor doesn't want to do. So I'm glad to be here and glad to share with you this morning as we continue our look at Hosea. And Pastor's right, I think many of you are finding Hosea to be a rich, deep experience. The thing I've heard most from Life Group and others that have I talked to about our study and so on, the thing I hear the most is folks struggle a little bit with, I see your heads nodding already, struggle a little bit with the picture of God in the Old Testament compared to who we know. And that's because we get the whole story. We've got the whole book from creation to revelation. We got the whole picture. We're post-crucifixion, post-resurrection. We're post-Pentecost. We have the indwelling Christ in us. So definitely our understanding is far deeper, far more personal, intimate than what Hosea was experiencing in his ministry and in his time. Add to that, that Hosea was asked to use his marriage as an example of God's attitude toward Israel. You put all that together, and those of us in the New Testament church are kind of shaking our head because we don't relate to that picture of God. And part of that is because of the very message we're going to talk about today, judge and healer. We don't hear much about judge in the New Testament church. We hear a lot about healer, and we like that. We get excited when we hear about what Christ has done for us. But it doesn't start that way. Let's listen to what Hosea is telling us in chapter 5. Look at our text and hear what God says. He says, I will return again to my place until they acknowledge their guilt and seek my face, and in their distress, earnestly seek me. Come, let us return to the Lord, for he has torn us that he may heal us. He has struck us down, and he will bind us up. Return, O Israel, to the Lord your God. For you've stumbled because of your iniquity. Take with you words and return to the Lord. Say to him, take away all iniquity. Accept what is good, and we will pay with bulls the vows of our lips. Assyria shall not save us. We will not ride on horses, and we will say no more, our God, to the work of our hands. In you, the orphan finds mercy. I will heal their apostasy. I will love them freely, for my anger has turned from them. I will be like the dew to Israel. He shall blossom like the lily. He shall take root like the trees of Lebanon. His shoots shall spread out. His beauty shall be like the olive, and his fragrance like Lebanon. They shall return and dwell beneath my shadow. They shall flourish like the grain. They shall blossom like the vine. Their fame shall be like the wine of Lebanon. It ends well, doesn't it? There's full of promise here. Israel, before the Lord, is going to be okay. In fact, the Bible tells us that even modern day Israel is going to be called back to the Lord before time is over. God is still choosing Israel as his beloved people. Now, he's allowed the rest of us to come into the family as well through the blood of Christ. But Israel's never lost its place in God's favor. And yet, at this particular time in their history, they're at odds with God. He's not pleased. He's not happy. And he's asked his prophet Hosea to demonstrate that. You see, God says, I'll return again to my place until. So what he's saying is, I'm judge. God doesn't want to be your judge. Now, I want you to catch this because it gets lost on a lot of folks. We have a community, a society, a whole world that thinks God is mad at them. Folks think that God is judge, and they dread meeting God. In fact, Pastor reminded us last week, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Nobody wants to meet God as judge. But here's what God is teaching us through Hosea. Your first point in your outline is God is judge that calls us to confess our sin. You see, God is judge. He has to be. He doesn't want to be, but he has no choice. He is a just God. He is righteous. He cannot even bend his rules. He has to judge sin. There is a price for sin. And God demanded it be paid. It has to be paid. And so he begins as a judge, but he is calling us to his love. He's calling us to forgiveness. He's calling us to confess our sin. Agree with him that we are without him. Agree with him that our lives have crossed him. Confess our sin. You see, he is the God who wounds to heal. He convicts us. His Holy Spirit indwells us, and he brings circumstances and conviction upon our heart and our lives in order to bring sin to our consciousness so we can then be healed. He highlights it in our life. Have you had those moments when you have recognized sin in your life, when you have felt God's conviction? Have you felt God wounding you so that he might heal you? Listen to what we read again. It says, he has torn us that he may heal us. He has struck us down and he will bind us up. God is not just judge. He doesn't want to be judge. He wants to be healer. In fact, the Bible tells us that it's his desire that none perish, but all have everlasting life. He wants everyone to come to a saving knowledge of him. He calls all of us. Well, that's not a judge being a judge. That's a judge being a healer, reaching out to us. Listen to what 1 John says. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, we're going to hit about three praise the Lord spots in this message. So I'm giving you a heads up. That's the first one. All right? Praise the Lord. Because if we confess, we're forgiven. Now, be clear. The forgiveness is there. God gives it. It's there. It's not that I confess sin and trigger God's forgiveness. No, no. I must confess my sin to receive his forgiveness. We talk about opening our hearts. It's there. I just have to come to it. God's not forgiving me on a condition. What he's asking me to do is admit I need the forgiveness. Come to it. Receive what he's already given. It's there. And with that forgiveness, in fact, point B here, letter B, Gomer's story shows us the natural condition of humanity. We need God's forgiveness. We need it. Otherwise, God will continue to be judge. But he is offering us mercy and grace. We'll talk about that in a minute. You see, number two, God must create repentance. He turns us from false saviors. You know, the world trusts in a lot of things. We know that from just living here. We see what people place their trust in. We can see it on the news. We see it on what Hollywood delivers to us. We see it all over the place. We see it in the lifestyles that people choose to live. We see that there are lots of folks with false saviors. Perhaps you're here this morning and you've been trusting in the wrong thing. Israel was. They, in fact, list them when they talk about, we will, Assyria will not save us. We're not going to ride on horses, and we won't say that the work of our hands is our God anymore. They're turning from these false saviors, that God brings repentance. You see, we've listed Israel's list for you. Under 2A, the first is Assyria, a political security. Then the horses, a military strength. And the work of our hands being idolatry. Those are false saviors. These are things that Israel turned from God to trust in. And God uses those to call them to repentance. Now here again, people have a hard time with this picture. You see, there is a truth that the more we sin, the further we get from God. Yes? Okay. So, God's calling me here, and I'm going here. Now, here's repentance. No cheating, Patrick. You've already seen it. Here's repentance. Did you see that? I'm going to go in slow motion. Do you get the idea? What are we doing? Turn it around. That's it. That's it. You get A for the day. God bless you. Thanks for coming. We turn around. That's all. We don't have to sit in the corner and hurt ourselves. We don't have to starve ourselves to death. We don't have to make a bunch of pledges and promises. We just turn around. we stop going away from God and turn back toward God. Now, here's the other confusion people have, is that they feel like once they've turned around, it's a long journey back to God. Because we think of the prodigal son who woke up in the pig slop. You remember that? Probably smelled lovely. He wakes up in the pig slop and makes his way back to his father's house. Now we think of a journey back to God. Let me just give you some really good news. When we turn, guess where God is? Right there. He's not miles away. He's not going to make us crawl over everything we've ever done to get there. Forgiveness covers that. He has already given forgiveness. I just acknowledge it. I just turn around and there he is. So this morning, if you're working hard to get back to God, let me just suggest you stop working and just turn. Just turn toward God. Because we have our own list of false saviors. We have our own things that we are trusting in. We give you a list here, our own list, as under letter B. The first is worldly powers. We trust in governments to fix us. How's that working for us? Now, I don't want to go politics on you, but I'm just going to go ahead and break the bubble. Government's not going to help us. They can't fix us. Because I'm not saying there aren't some smart people, but I'm telling you, we can't fix us. It takes a higher power than we got. God says, my ways aren't your ways. Even my thoughts aren't your thoughts. We can't fix us. Only God can fix us. We need to turn toward him, not trust in worldly powers, not trust in our strength, letter B, not our strength. If you had enough strength to stop sinning, some of you already would have. Because sin hurts. Sin brings depression. Sin brings us struggles in life. The consequences of sin hurt. So if we were strong enough, if our strength could do it, we'd already do it. I used to tell churches and youth groups especially, I used to challenge them, I want you to wake up tomorrow morning, I want you to spin out of bed, put your feet on the ground, and I want you to tell yourself, I'm not going to sin today. Now, some of you can't even think about that with a straight face. Because we're not going to get through breakfast. Thoughts are going to be darted into our mind. We have an accuser all day long. We're reminded of past sins. We feel unworthy. Satan attacks constantly. We fight temptations all day long. We don't have the strength to defeat sin. Our works aren't going to do it. We can't work our way into salvation. That's not our salvation produces God's works, not our works producing God's salvation. That doesn't work that way. Are you trusting in you'll be good enough? Because again, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but you ain't going to make it. We can't get good enough. We can't trust in our wisdom, which is hard because some of us think we're the smartest cookie in the jar. We think we're pretty doggone smart. And you might be, but we're all broken, aren't we? We might be smart, but we have a worldly wisdom. We have a wisdom that comes from life experience. We need to walk in godly wisdom. And that always comes from one place, God. So we have these things that we sometimes can trust in. Israel had things that they trust in. And the question for you today is, where do we run first? Where do we go? Where do we find what we need? Proverbs 3 tells us, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. Trust Him, not you. That's when we begin to get it right. Now, as we begin to close, I want you to look at number 3. And I'll give you ahead of time heads up. This is one of those praise the Lord times. God offers mercy and healing. Amen. Mercy. That means I don't get what I got coming to me. Mercy means I deserve a whole lot worse than what God promises me. And the best, I get healing. You see, God is a judge of sin. But His Son on the cross, defeating sin and death, resurrecting, coming from the grave, that provides healing. There is an answer. I don't have to stay stuck in sin. I have said this to you before, but I want to say it again because I think we keep excusing ourselves. We do not have to sin. We used to before Christ, when it was just me left to my sinful nature. That's the way we're born. We're born into it. I had to sin. It's what I did. I even knew that at 9 years old. I came to recognize sin in my life and that I needed a Savior. God began to call me as just a little kid. And I heard Him. I'm not telling you I understood all the deep theological things that my brilliant seminary-trained brain understands today. Duh. Pastor and I laugh all the time. I tell him, I can't wait till we go to heaven and see how wrong we've been about all of this. Because God's way smarter than we are. He shared with us a lot in his book. But you know, even the gospel says it didn't give us everything. So there aren't enough books to hold what Jesus did. So we read it, the Spirit speaks to us, and we try to share it. But there'll be nothing like seeing God face to face. His Bible is a wonderful place to learn, to read. It's a great place to know God. Paul said it best when he said, I want to know him. I want fellowship with him. That's what we want. We want to know him because he offers mercy and healing. I don't have to sin. God's nature has come into my life. Jesus indwells me. The Spirit can guide and direct me. I don't have to sin. I have the power to overcome it. In fact, point A, God sustains us. John 15 says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. As we walk with the Lord, as Galatians says, in step with the Spirit, as we do that, as we abide in Christ, we produce fruit. We become like Him. We take on godly characteristics. We begin to be Him. You see, let her be through God's healing. We grow in His righteousness. His righteousness. You see, that's different than always doing the right thing. Because thankfully, His forgiveness, His mercy, His healing, His grace overlooks my not always doing the right thing. You see, His righteousness is my standing before Him. That's how I stand before God. I stand in His righteousness, not mine. The better you get to know me, the whole less righteousness you're going to see. But I have God's righteousness. I have that standing before the Lord. So, 2 Corinthians 5 says it this way. For our sake He made Him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. Okay, there's your third shot. Amen. That's right. Look what it says. I start in sin, and through Christ, I come all the way to His righteousness. Are you kidding me? I am sin. And through the washing of His blood, I become righteous. Because of what He does. Because He's the healer. So we don't have to remain estranged from Him. We don't have to remain in sin. We can walk in His righteousness. And that's got to put a grin on your face. In fact, we close with this. God promises. So when God promises, anybody think it's not going to happen? No. When God promises, He will heal, love, restore, and cause them to flourish. He promised Israel that in those closing verses of chapter 14. He promises to heal, love, restore, and flourish. He promises you and I the exact same thing. Let's look at our memory verse. Let's say it together. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So, we have God's promise to be healed, loved, restored. God doesn't want to be your judge. He wants to be your healer. So this morning, would you let Him? It's already there for you. God's arms are open wide. He has made promises. Receive them today. Let God be to you who He wants to be to you. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for Your goodness, Your mercy, Your grace. Thank You for the healing that Your crucifixion and resurrection offer us. Thank You for the healing that we can walk in today in Your righteousness. So, Father, may we come into the relationship that You long to have with us. We are so grateful that You want us to be with You. And we want that as well. So bless us with that fellowship as we walk from this place. May we know You even more and more deeply every single day. Thank You for reaching to us and speaking to our hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray as we've been taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. God bless you.
And so in your worship folder, you have an offering envelope and a QR code or text to give and all those things, an opportunity for us to continue our worship. So we invite you to do that with our tithes and offerings. Also, in your connection card, if you look on the backside, if you want to share in ways you want to grow, devotions on this and a message that we send out on email, or if you would like to be trained and like, hey, I've never learned what it's like to be a disciple, let me give you some tools so you can have tools in your toolkit to really leverage, if you want to use that word, the gift that we have of grace and what is it in our lives. Also, opportunities to connect. You see several of them with the women, with the seminaries, Men of Iron Breakfast. Man, I really encourage you. It's been a great time of encouraging, equipping as we've been sharing together. So if you haven't joined that, come to that. It's worth it. And then Night of Worship, a great opportunity for us to just to worship and to just hear some scripture and pray and pray for one another and pray for what God is doing and what we're asking to be what God will do for this Easter as we go and serve Him, hopefully be on the beach again. And but really, like, God use us. And we want to be in a posture of just emptying us and more of God in that time. So it's a great time to refuel, refresh in the Lord together. And then you see some opportunities to help out and serve as we get ready for Easter. So as we continue our worship, you're welcome to bring your offerings and your connection cards onto the plates to your left and right. So let's continue our worship. We can bring our tithes and offerings.
Oh Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art. How great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. How great thou art. Let's sing that again. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. How great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art.